This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Gene Purcell. The growing season is finally starting to pick up some steam around here, but some of the yummiest foods out there aren't growing in neat rows in your garden. Sometimes all you have to do is forage in the wild to find spring ingredients like ramps, morels, and watercress.
Here to give us a lesson in Foraging 101 is our regular food fanatic, Ian Knauer. Ian's the host of the PBS show The Farm and the author of a cookbook by the same name. He's also a farm-to-table chef who grows his own food on the family land in Pennsylvania. Ian, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
So, you know, we could be hitting the farmer's market and buying things, I guess, like ramps and morels and watercress, but you like to do it another way. You forage. What exactly do we mean when we talk about foraging?
Well, we basically mean that you wander through the woods looking for all these delicious things that grow wild in nature, and you're smart enough or educated enough to know which are the good ones and which are the not good ones, and then you can take those home and cook them up. In fact, ramps are a really good example. At my local farmer's market, I saw them last weekend for $30 a pound,
Whoa.
Which is really expensive. And they grow just about everywhere, all over the country, really, and they're free.
What about the state of foraging these days? You know, back in the 70s and 80s, there was some popular commercials, and people sort of made fun of it in a fashion. But now it seems as though it's a serious pursuit, and it seems as though more people are taking advantage of this.
Well, I think that stems from the real interest in the culture of food in this country, in American food culture. This is just a natural extension of that. You know, we're looking to artists and producers to make our bacons and our jellies and our jams. And we're looking to nature and everything that it supplies just, you know, in the wild. And you're right. It used to be sort of this crazy thing that only wild people did. But now it's become really popular. And I think that's great.
So do we need special equipment to go out there foraging? What do we need when we're suiting up?
Well, the first thing that you want to keep in mind is that you will be walking through the woods, and all sorts of plants are starting to pop up this time of year, including poison ivy. So I would wear long pants and long socks and boots if you have them. Another thing to think about is that the ticks are starting to wake up, so put on some bug spray. And that way you're protected against the very common natural predators that are out there looking to eat you instead of you eating them.
So then once you're all dressed up, you're lubed up, you've got your tick protection on, you're out in the woods, how do you sort of train your eyes to look for what you need to find? Because, you know, if you're not used to this, you go out there and it's just a bunch of green stuff.
That's right. The first thing you want to do is you want to know what you're looking for. So there are some really great books out there on foraging. One just came out last year. It's called Foraged Flavor. It's written by a woman named Tama Wong. And she's actually a pretty famous forager. She supplies restaurants like Danielle in New York City with their wild greens. And she wrote this really wonderful book. It's very simple to follow. It's got great pictures, so you can take it with you and compare with what you find. But there are a lot of books out there. So I would start by finding out what it is that you want to look for and what it looks like. And then you want to figure out where those things grow. And, of course, what time of year they grow. So now, of course, we're in watercress season and ramp season and morel season. And some of those things have lookalikes that aren't quite the real thing. Like morels, there's such a thing as a false morel. Ramps have actually a poisonous lookalike. Lily of the Valley looks a little bit like ramps. So you want to be able to look for the telltale signs that tell you just what the real thing is. And, of course, with ramps, it's pretty easy because they smell like onions. You break them up and you sniff them, and it's pretty obvious that you found them when you found them. Morels are very pine cone in shape, and the false morels look sort of like a gnarly fist. So that's what you're looking for. Both those things are a very basic level of forager. You don't need to be, you don't have to have a master's degree in foraging to do pretty well with those two. And watercress is also quite easy to spot because it grows in water. So if you find a creek and it has some slow-moving water in it, that's where you would want to look for the watercress.
Well, I would be in heaven if I could find morels. You said there's this false morel to look out for. I think you said the false one looks like the gnarly fist?
That's correct, yeah. So the real one looks just like a morel. It's just this perfect little pine cone on top of a little hollow stem. Now, they grow singularly, which means there's one growing in each space, not two or three, but not in clumps like some mushrooms. They grow on the forest floor, not on wood. But they also grow close to, and they really like, tulip poplar trees. Now, tulip poplars are easy to spot in the woods because they're very tall and they're very straight. So if you find yourself a cluster of tulip poplars, start looking around the base of those trees and nearby those trees for morels. I also find that it's actually much easier to spot them if you get down on your hands and knees and look horizontally, because then you'll see them, you know, a little forest of morels. And if you're looking down, they're really good at camouflaging. You know, it's funny. Mushroom foragers say that you forage for mushrooms, but you hunt for morels. They're a little bit harder to find, but once you find them, they're easy to identify.
But if you're rolling around on the forest floor, you're down there with the ticks and the poison ivy.
That's why you wear long clothing. And,
I guess so.
And put your bug spray on.
So this year here in Wisconsin, it's been pretty cool and kind of wet in the last couple of weeks. And how does the and I think our season here is behind in terms of where we might be for a normal year. How does that affect things like ramps and some of the other things we're talking about? Obviously, they're affected by the weather and by the seasons.
Of course, yeah. Wild crops are just as influenced by the climate as cultivated crops. So if you're a little cooler and you've had some rain, the rain is actually really good for all these things. And the cooler weather will slow it down a little bit. So as soon as you start to get some warmer days, that's when you want to start looking for this stuff. The ramps will take they'll be slow if it's cool, slow to grow if it's cool. And the morels just won't appear until it just gets a little warmer. You're looking for, you know, daytime temperatures in the high 50s, low 60s.
So let's say we find what we're looking for. We find our ramps. We find our morels. What do we need to know about how to pick it and then to store it so that it's, you know, still in good shape when we get it home to cook with it?
So each one of these has its own little quirks and characteristics. The watercress, for instance, I like to clip off the top of it, leaving the roots in the water and in the mud, and then put that in a plastic bag with a little bit of the water from the creek. That keeps it very crisp and fresh, and you know you have no chance of it spoiling on your trip home. The ramps, the best way to cut the ramps is to dig down maybe an inch or so, and then cut them with a pair of kitchen shears. Now you want to be careful not to take the root rhizome, with you, because that's what brings the next year's ramp crop back. And so you'll have the green leaves and part of the stalk for the ramps. We'll come back to that in just a second because I want to tell you more about the rhizome. But the ramps, you can just put them in a plastic bag. And then the morels, you want to cut them off where they meet the ground. And for mushrooms, you want to put them in a paper bag because they like to breathe a little bit. So that's how you would want to harvest them and get them home. But going back to those ramp rhizomes, if you ever see ramps at the farmer's market, and they have some root on them, buy them and then take those roots, cut off the roots, use the rest of the ramp to cook with, and plant those roots because that rhizome will continue to produce ramps. And so you can then find a nice shady place in the forest. They like to be near hardwood trees like oak trees and plant them near the base of a hardwood tree. And there's a pretty good chance if the conditions are right that they'll come back year after year for you.
So you can actually grow your own ramps, kind of cultivate them. That's cool.
Yeah, and it's sort of a myth that you can't cultivate them. You definitely can. I have for several years now.
And so, Ian, in our last minute here, I know you've got a special place in your heart for ramps, and you've included a ramp recipe for us to try out. What do you love about ramps, and what is in your ramp recipe?
Well, the thing that I love about ramps is not the fact that you can only get them for a few weeks a year. I wish that we could get them all year long. But it's the fact that they have a very unique onion flavor. They're not like an onion, they're not like a leek, they're not like a garlic. There's some combination of those three things, and they also have a real beautiful sweetness to them that comes out when you cook the leaves. So flavor-wise, I think they're probably one of my favorite flavors in the onion family. And cooking them, you can cook them like you would use anything from a scallion to an onion to garlic to leeks. You can roast them, you can saute them, you can puree them. And they really give a beautiful, gentle, oniony sweetness to whatever you put them in.
And we've got your recipe for ramp pasta with some cream and lots of other luscious stuff up on our Facebook page. Ian, thank you so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure to talk to you guys.
That was Ian Knauer, host of the PBS show The Farm and the author of a cookbook by the same name.
And don't forget, you can check out his wild ramp pasta recipe on the Central Time Facebook page.